podcast, the English language growth club, and no podcast that nobody asked for. It's David here.
And I'm Loughborough Democrats leader, Swo Jinson.
Hello, Swo. Hello, Swo! why on earth? Is that a reference to something that I've missed?
I don't know. No, just me.
Swo Jinson.
Swo Jinson, uh-huh. Cutting about, hitting squirrels with rocks.
It's got to be a reference. I don't know what that means, but...
I only exist on the internet, David. Right, I'm not in real life. Yeah, as you well know.
Yes. I mean, you're sitting next to me in real life here and now, but I mean, that could be a mirage.
It's like a projection of Coachella.
Coming in like a thief in the night. That's a bit odd.
Anyway, that's from that reference.
It's not from anything, really, I don't think.
sort of one each on the obscure... Yeah. Maybe non-existing references.
Yes, all of this bluster is because we don't have a lot going on today. It's a relatively short show tonight. We've only got sort of five sections, really.
Zbrojovkrat.
Very good, yeah. We're going to look back at the game against Prostějov. That was 2 weeks ago now, though, mind.
It feels like it's been a while
since
we've...
It's been a long international break. Yeah.
I fucking hate the international break.
Then we are looking forward to Pardubitzer on Saturday morning. Book the train tickets today, so that'll be me, Sam, and hopefully John, if he's better, going up to that.
Ready to stir up some support?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I can't, off the top of my... How long are you working on stir up some support?
No, you can't think of any jokes about horses off the hoof, David.
I'm going to have to rein you in a
second.
Hey,
so. There we go. That's what they tune in for, you see.
Bands.
Nothing vulgar, nothing blue.
Just horse references from me and you. That's a rhyme. So we're looking at that. We've got beer of the podcast, we've got hot or not, and we've got a small kind of halfway through the season report card at the end. And then we've got a lovely song to play out with as well. So let's get on with it, shall we? We're going to look back at our game against Prostějov the other week. So, good win 2 Fridays ago.
Excellent win.
5-0. If you do not know that result, you would if you followed us on Twitter, @Sprovcast, and Facebook, @Sprovcast. And
we're so kind that we update for you. Yeah. Only slightly slower than Fast Score. Flash Score.
Yes. And we describe things in poetic terms. I can't remember exactly how I described the fifth goal, but it got a lot of sort of bemused comments because I was I was in a sort of like mildly drunk but vague, but quite euphoric state. So it was a terrible mixed metaphor, but I enjoyed it anyway. Well, in front of just under 2,500 people, which is a fairly crappy turnout, seeing as it wasn't even that cold. It was quite a nice evening.
No, I think it's just people coming towards the end of the season and not really bothering to show up. They tend to show up a lot more when it's nice and summery. They'll come back out in April, and they'll bump us by about 500 or so.
Yeah.
We didn't have any, there wasn't any clash either, because there was a clash with Cometa before. This is it. I mean, another sort of team, I guess. Like, it's not a rivalry. It's team close to us.
You could have come out to see 2001's Marek Streštík playing a little bit. But
their own fans didn't even come out, David.
That's
so
true, yeah.
A big fat zero for that. At a game that kicks off at 7 p.m. when you're...
45 minutes away.
Come on, lads.
Yeah, really not very good indeed. But anyway... What happened? Well, we won. Spoilers. But
we were unchanged.
Yes, unchanged. And it started out as a little bit sort of punch and parry, but it was mainly us punching and Prostějov parrying. Yeah. Schumbra hits the post on 10 minutes. Schmid has an effort that can't quite go over the line. It's a bit scrambly. Rusek heads over the bar, but it looks like there's only one team that's about to do any scoring. Well,
only team that's playing football, really. Prostějov decided to turn up in a away strip that seemed to be heavily inspired by tour cycling.
And Jirka Floda's goalkeeper kit, normally.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like playing a team of 11 Jirka Floda's, which was a little bit odd.
Is this the correct time before you go right into the nuts and bolts of things to just comment on how different Milan Lutonski looks?
You can absolutely do that.
He looked very different than the Milan Lutonski I know, which is either the, like, in the headlights Lutonski or the failed magician slash cocktail waiter Lutonski. He had his musketeer moustache.
He's all bulked up.
He looks a bit like Jason Cummings. It's very strange.
I have heard of Jason Cummings. I don't know what he looks like. A bit like Milan Lutonski now.
Milan Lutonski.
Yeah. All right, yes. I was actually quite excited to see 2001's Manic Stress Deek.
Yeah.
But didn't really see that much of him. He sort of chugged about for a while and was disappointing.
Just had to make do with Kropa, Pasek and Schuster.
Yeah.
Your other ones.
Well, I mean, Stress Deek played, but not so as you'd have noticed.
Mm-hmm.
He just sort of clanged about.
I mean, you can say that a lot of them. Like, you noticed Milan Lutonski for the errors he was making.
Yeah. That's a familiar feeling.
I'm not sure. Like, anyone at the game, like, could maybe contribute to this. But there's one point where, beside the Kotel, Lutonski seems to, like, absolutely just lose control of the ball and skid in his arse. And then there started
starts singing Milan Lutonski.
And I don't know if they actually meant that as in former player or this is quite funny, but I definitely know how...
I'd like to think it was the latter.
You definitely know how Milan Lutonski thought about it because he applauded.
Oh, dear. Oh, well. Anyway, he did basically nothing apart from looking stocky, falling on his ass, not having a moustache.
He was one of their better players.
Yeah, he still did very little.
Sad.
Yeah, exactly. That's not really saying a lot. Yeah. Anyway, like I said, the first half, there was only one team playing football, as you said. Mm. And only one team looked like scoring, but... Rusek was the main culprit. He had a header that went over, missed one other. There was a horrible goal-mouth scramble. To the point where that bloke, that sort of middle-aged bloke that stands in front of us wearing the England cap.
Oh, yeah.
Rusek's header went over from about a yard out, and he turns around and just goes, "Don neni normalnie," to us, to which I replied, "Yeah, to no, normalnie." And he just went, "No, yeah." So, yeah, it was.
I like that reliability you get from our support, though. Like, we could be, it's very much like Aberdeen. When Aberdeen are like 3-0 up, and it's like the 70th minute, and like a pass goes like the wrong way. The guy used to sit in front of me in my season ticket was just always, "Oh, fuck's sake, absolutely same Aberdeen every week." And it's like, well, it's very much like that. I get that, you know? Like, we could be 8. I think we were like, you know, when we were 5-0 up later on, I think there was like a misplaced pass and everyone was like, "Oh, Dean Voller." It's the same sort of thing, man. It's football fans, man, the same all over the world.
Yeah. But eventually, the deadlock was broken.
Mm-hmm.
From a corner, remarkably, but a corner that not necessarily through any sort of quality, but a corner comes over from the right as we're attacking the goal, and Jan Breda in the Prostyov goal comes for it, leaping forward, looking very much with his face to the skies and his left arm outstretched, like a statue of a 1960s Soviet cosmonaut.
Nice.
Like, reaching towards the heavens in a vain attempt to get there. Misses the ball completely, obviously.
Yeah, the people shall meet the moon.
Yeah, misses the ball entirely. It drops to Folsek, who just prods it into the back of the net from about 10 yards out. It's a nice finish.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is... It's I like Folsek's control of the ball. He rifles it in because it bounces, and he sort of takes it on the knee and then sort of drills it home.
Yeah, boom.
And he's starting to do quite a few of those sort of things.
Mm.
It reminded me very much of like the lovely touch that he had in his first goal against Hrudim.
Yes.
Where he just sort of like calmly sort of chests and then finishes. It's a bit more like the Adam Folsek I expected to see turn up at the start of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's good that he's coming into that, so I'm pleased for him again.
Exactly, yeah. Goals from midfield are always welcome as well, so that's nice. Yeah. Two changes at half-time. Shumby goes off, replaced by Pazler. Folsek actually goes off. That I would assume that was injury-based, because otherwise he probably wouldn't have gone off. But Kurushka comes on to replace him. And almost immediately, Prikistal gets brought down by Tomasz Janicek, who gets a straight red card for his trouble.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I think it's probably fair. He's not the last man, but the covering defender is 15 yards away and he's basically through on goal.
See, I thought it looked harsh. And interestingly, Prostyov's manager, Ulrich Mahala, didn't have any complaints. And he said that it was an error that changed the game. So I was like, "You're okay, I'm probably accepting it's a red card now if your own manager is saying that."
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it changed the game. I think we would still have gone on and won it. Possibly not by that score.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, Janicek goes. And 5 minutes later, there's a free kick on the right. It comes in. Schmid has a great chance, which he heads straight into the ground. And it bounces back up. And a sprawling Jan Breda sort of helps it into his own goal, which is kind of unlucky because... If it wasn't for the bounce, I think he'd have sort of clawed it out, maybe.
I think Breda might or should have done better with it, actually, because he's straight in front of it, and I don't think he tracks the ball. And it sort of goes, under his elbow sort of thing. Generally speaking, I think it's a cliche to say... Well, usually it's a cliche when you say that, you know, when a team gets pounded 6-0?
Yeah.
And it's like... you know what? And actually, none of it was the keeper's fault. Like that.
A couple of these were.
I think Breda was one of the worst. One of the worst players for Prostyov that day. I thought he was very poor in everything from sort of organizing his defensive lines to conceding sloppy goals to his Soviet statue to also what we'll probably come on to shortly his. Challenge which led to the free kick.
Again, another cliche, but you generally know a goalkeeper's had a good game if you don't notice it, if you don't notice him, which is also true in a 5-0 battering. If you sort of don't notice the goalkeeper, you can sort of take blame away from him because he clearly wasn't flapping, didn't make any massive mistakes. It was just all down to disorganization in front of him or whatever. And this, he was, hurling himself at things, making rash decisions, leaping about, you know. It was a very odd performance.
It shows a keeper that has zero confidence in his own defence.
Mm. Yeah. So, what happens next? Breda actually stops a decent Pazla strike after that, but then... A couple of minutes later, wipes out the same player as he comes hooning out of his area. Was very lucky not to get sent off for that.
That's a red for me. That's far more strong red than the Janicek.
He really crunches him, and it's a ridiculous decision.
And he's high
outside of his area.
Janicek goes absolutely flying, and really,
it's actually Pazla he takes down.
Is it
Pazla?
Okay, you can't really see from the very grainy footage that you know the highlights that we get. Because I was trying to remind myself of the game, but it just looks, it's like a diver almost. You know, when he does that arc to try and get out of the way, and he still gets clipped.
Yeah,
it was definitely one of those situations. I think he got a yellow for it.
He got yellow for it. Yeah,
I think he got yellow for it, and it was for me like if Janicek hadn't got a red. Like
he probably would have gone forward. Yeah.
I think he just gets marching.
But that did mean it treated us to a beautiful free kick from Uncle Vanya, who steps up, curls an absolute peach into the top right hand corner of the goal.
It's a really great finish.
It's a belter, isn't it? It's a lovely finish.
And if you haven't seen it already, you can watch in the highlights packages. Look out for the camera footage taken from the main stand.
Mm-hmm.
Where you see it, and then he's running up, and everyone's going mad for it. It's a good clip.
Yeah, it's lovely. Then Pazla turns provider on 79 minutes. He, what I'm cliche bound to describe as a slide rule pass, sends Ondra Pachlopnik through into his favoured kind of inside left position, in which he sort of Thierry Henry's it with his right foot calmly into the far corner. Beautiful stuff. He loves popping up there, man. He's so good from that sort of distance, from that angle.
It's just how better we look when we actually have this ground game. Ground game, it's not like MMA, but like when we're actually keeping it on the deck and looking for that pass rather than just... Because so long before, like, you know what we're doing when Pazler's in that position... Like, so often, we're not trying to slide that ball through. We're playing it wide to get Iceman onto it, who then hoofs it into the box. Yeah. Not doing that anymore, and we're scoring goals because of it.
And also, it means we're getting caught out less on the counter-attack because Icy is not by the corner flag the entire time. So yeah, that was 4-0. And the rout basically ends. There's another cross from deep on the right-hand side is headed back across goal by Pachlotnik in his favoured position again. And Plikistal taps home unmarked from 2 yards on 84 minutes. And that's the end of Prosty off, yeah. Basically. Yeah, lovely.
We are now joint top scorers in the league with Dukla Prague.
Oh, good.
33, that's nice. 33 netted.
It's nice, isn't it? Can I just take a quick moment to talk about Jan Breda?
You absolutely
not necessarily
can.
Jan Breda, but during
the football team from the Netherlands named after him.
During the game, we were referring to him as Jan NAC Breda.
Yeah.
And my favourite thing about NAC Breda is their name. Because it's in 1912, I was looking this up earlier, two clubs combined, NOAD and AVENDO. So okay. NOAD and Avendo, right, became NAC Breda. But they combined the N from NOAD and the A Avendo and then added Combinatie is the C, right? So the full name of NAC Breda is, excuse my Dutch here, Nooit opgeven, altijd doorzetten, ongenomen door vermaak en nuttig door ontspannen Combinatie Breda, which means never give up, always persevere, pleasant in its entertainment and useful in relaxation, Combination Club of Breda.
Like, I'm getting very strong J League vibes from that.
the most hated person in that ground is who goes, give us an N. Hey. Oh, for fuck's sake, we're going to be here the whole 90 minutes, man. Never give up, always persevere, pleasant in its entertainment and useful in relaxation, Combination Club Breda.
Never give up, always persevere sounds like a 12-year-old MSN Messenger screen name.
It really does, doesn't it? So yeah,
iListener was that poster.
So that was Prosty off.
I was sent home drunk and I was not sent home. I went out, but I was drunk, got drunker, and was happy.
Yeah, good. Yes,
very good.
I don't really know what to say after that. Shall we? Talking of drunk, do you want to do beer of the podcast next?
Let's just have an early beer of the podcast.
All right, let's do that.
Why not?
It's an early beer of the podcast. Beer of the podcast. I don't know where this is going, really.
Oh, beer of the podcast. Drink you podcast. Doesn't work.
No. Beer of the podcast. Blech. Get it down your neck fast. Oh, beer of the podcast. Beer of the podcast.
Let's play the music.
Alright then, so we have got today, this is quite a weak one actually, this is only a 3.8%.
Oh, okay.
It's like a sort of 10 degree-er. And it's called Let's Get Exotic. Yeah.
Let's get exotic.
Let's get exotic, yes. Man. It's from the Hraust Brewing Company of Prague.
Yeah.
And
let's get exotic.
And it is mango, passion fruit, and wheat hops.
Okay. Well, you need hops in beer.
So
you see this.
So when you saw it in the glass and said it looked like a wheat beer,
yeah.
It sort of is, but it's also mango and passion fruit. Which I'm quite interested.
Let's get exotic with passion. It just sounds like my last sex tour of Indonesia.
your last one, none of the previous ones. Yeah. But.
I'd like to shout out my girlfriend at this point, who's
Indonesian,
still working. she doesn't listen.
So yeah, anyway,
I'm excited, this is, David.
Well, I mean, it says let's what was it? I can't remember.
This, like, you know what? On the nose,
let's get exotic.
On the nose, David. Like, remember we had that Matushka exotic that you got. This one has a stronger case for smelling a bit like Umbongo.
Yeah, this really does. It's very, very strong indeed, isn't it? Very sort of, yeah, very squashy. So, let's give it a go. Zink. Here we go. Ooh, it's
sour.
Oh, it is. It's very sour.
That's like a fruit sour.
Oh, that'll do me. That'll do, Pig.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
How does that that rank so far on your favourites list?
That's up there. It's got that almost those really sour sweets that make you go.
Yeah.
Make you
If you take a big mouthful, it like sort of at the top of your you can't see where I'm pointing.
Are you talking about my sex tune in Indonesia still?
But like at the top of your throat, there's that thing that kind of makes your sort of hair go. Yeah. You know, it's that. Yeah, it's that really sharp.
So you're saying this is like ketamine.
Sure. Yeah.
Continuing
exactly
with the horse
saying,
theme
yeah.
on the road to Barja Mesa.
That's exactly what.
Well done, man. This is a good beer.
It was actually recommended by the bloke in the shop. Uh-huh. He said he really likes it. So.
What? Where did you go?
Same as it ever was. It was to the one in Trusnica, but this is new for them.
Oh, okay.
They hadn't got it before, which I was not actually that surprised because I hadn't seen it. It's from this brewery I've never heard of called Hraust, as I said, and it's I can't remember ever having seen this.
Yeah.
The label is not familiar to me. The logo is not familiar. So I think they just got it in. But yeah, it's
yeah, you've done well.
Yeah, it's tasty. I'll stick a photo on the Facebook probably if I remember again.
Is it keenly priced?
It was $135 for what's this 750 ml? I think.
And not you're not having. Five of these though, so
it's also like I said, it's relatively weak, so it's a you know, one of these on a relaxing evening just because you like the taste sort of thing. It's not a, you know, it's not a beer you buy to get pissed. It's a beer you buy because it's delicious and it's a treat. So yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Okay. This could qualify as a hot, but we've got some actual hot or nots coming next. Sam, tell me if it's hot or not. What have you got on that paper?
Hot or not?
We've got some topics and they're hot or not. Da, 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 da. Right. That was nod to Bonneau's Finest Bats vs. Cats there.
Are you in that band?
I am in that band, particularly. I wrote, not that version of that song, but that song. Yeah. bandcamp.com, Bats vs. Cats. Buy our EP. Thank you. Bye. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Do you like a hot or not?
Whichever you feel like.
Right, we'll start with a hot.
All right, that's fine.
I don't know if this is a hot. I mean, both could qualify as hots or not. I think this is more of the hot.
I have that. Well, no. My not could qualify as a hot depending on which angle you look at it. So.
Okay. Well, my hot is losing your job for being too damn good at managing.
Really?
Yes. So, right, this is good. So, a guy called Massimiliano Riccini.
Ah.
He is the manager, or was the manager, he's a youth coach of a team called Invictasauro in Italy.
It's my favourite dinosaur.
So, he's a youth team coach. they beat this team called Marina Calcio.
Right.
27-0 in a recent match.
Good, yeah.
And he was sacked for this.
Right.
Quote president of club, We were stunned and deeply regretful when having heard our juniors had beaten Marina Calcio 27-0. The values of youth team football are antithetical to such a thing. The opponent must always be respected and that did not happen today. So the team were so good he got the tin tack.
Yeah.
And what's even better is, statement from the manager... The real defeat is to see how much hypocrisy, banality, and soul poverty come out without any knowledge of the facts.
You could not have said soul poverty with a mouthful of exotic fruit. But...
soul poverty.
Oh, wow. That's good.
What were you sacked for? Soul poverty.
Soul poverty.
That's your next job interview.
It's actually the name of the's fifth album as well.
Yeah, one dude scored seven goals in each half.
Wow, good work.
27-0.
Yeah,
So yeah, bad time. Like, so if you're a coach or a youth team in Italy, like, don't
hold
win,
off there.
Don't win so much.
Yeah,
or buy so much.
Buy so much. Yeah, just, you know, get to about 16-0 and you know, call off the dogs.
Really fucking annoys me, actually, because it's always sort of like, oh yeah, youth, you know, like, they're poor fragile youth thing, you know, how will they get over that or whatever? And it's sort of like, well, I mean, this is a competitive team sport.
Exactly. You batter them, come on.
Well, we all love small children crying when their team gets battered in, like, the Premier League, right? But it's like, you know, the ninth goes in against Southampton and it pans to distraught 6-year-old in the crowd. Love it. Love it.
It's one of those. This is sort of not. I mean, it's related to Southampton losing 9-0 that time. The next home game, Southampton put a free scarf on every seat. So you got a free. Did you hear this quote? This is so good. Some fan was asked after the game, so did you like the free scarf? And he said, yeah, it makes a brilliant blindfold for when the fourth one goes in. You wrap it around your head.
More of the scarves ended up on the pitch.
Yes. It was very funny.
Everton,
yeah.
And apparently they had no shots in the first half.
Yeah, Everton managed in the game something like 27 shots on goal or something like that.
Which was more than Leicester.
Yes. that's the paucity of Everton's finishing there. They don't have Jamie Vardy with his Skittles vodka-powered skills.
You want soul poverty? You can go down the Solent.
Yeah. Hey. I'll give you a hot.
Good.
Jamie Cureton.
Okay.
Do you know who Jamie Cureton is?
I do not know who Jamie Cureton is.
Right. Jamie Cureton was born in Brazil. Hello, you're right, Brazil there.
not Brazil.
No,
like
Brazil.
Bristol, friend.
Brazil.
Okay.
He spent a lot of his early career sort of wandering around the lower leagues. He got picked up by Bristol Rovers. Mm-hmm. The Gas. The mighty Gas. Struck up a great partnership with Jason Roberts for 3 years, then got transferred to Reading. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing him early 2000s at Reading playing up top with Martin Butler. They had a brilliant front two then. Anyway, I had actually missed this because it happened a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the last week of October this happened. He became the first ever player to score in the top 9 divisions of English football.
I think I heard this. He was playing for some like Isthmian League, not Premier or something,
I have the
right?
story here, actually, yes. He only stopped being a full-time player last year at the age of 43.
Yeah.
He was playing for Bishop Stortford in the Essex Senior League or something like that. And at the age of 43, he'd banged in 27 in 50 games for Bishop Stortford, which is still
it's
decent. He got the player manager's job. But Bishop Stortford ground share with a team in a lower division, which is Enfield FC. And he was talking to Enfield's manager in the bar after a game. Yeah. And Enfield's manager joked, well, you know, if you fancy... We're struggling for goals. If you fancy pulling on your boots sometime,
and he did.
And he got, he was brought on with 10 minutes to go in the game. After that, scored the winner. He's made a career out of it. He's an incredible lower league striker. He's basically, for his entire career, he's been a 1-in-3 man wherever he's been. He's the absolute perfect lower league striker. Brilliant footballing brain. Very quick off the mark, like not fast overall, but nippy. Very nippy, great footballing brain, great positional awareness. Mm-hmm. And in April, I think, he became only the 29th player in history to play 1,000 professional league games.
Wow.
Not league games, but 1,000 games in total, including cup and stuff like that.
So. That's mad.
Yeah.
That is.
So yeah, Jamie Cureton is my my hot for this week.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that one.
Mm-hmm. A knot.
Love a knot.
My knot is showing your support for racism by losing to Bulgaria at an empty stadium in Sofia.
Right, you're going to have to fill me in on
this. This is, of course, the Czech Republic national football team, Česká reprezentace, who were... They're a very strange team, the Czech Republic, because they came from a goal. You'll remember they came from a goal behind Kosovo, in Pilsen to win 2-1 and to qualify for Euro 2020.
That's right, yeah.
And then they decided to go to Sofia, which was behind closed doors because it turns out a lot of Bulgarian football fans are massive racists.
Yes, I had noticed that.
And this, and they went to play a Bulgarian side who had not won a game since beating Cyprus 2-1 in the Nations League last October, which is a run of 12 games without a win. And they decided to lose 1-0.
Yeah, that is an odd one.
They're a really weird team. They've got a really weird strip now as well.
Oh, the green one. Oh,
not
Jesus.
For it. Not no. for it. But they just do this all the time. Like, they get absolutely pounded by, like, England. And they go into half time in a friendly against Northern Ireland 3-0 down with a full strength team.
Yeah.
And but then somehow
then we'll beat England.
Yeah. They'll beat England and they'll lose to Bulgaria, who are just dreadful, very, very bad team. They'll play one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen, which was them playing Montenegro. Mm-hmm. Which they won 3-0, and it was just not a 3-0 game. It was terrible. And, yeah, and they're somehow going to an international tournament, whereas Scotland, we are going to lose in a playoff final to someone like Serbia and not be in. But yeah. We're also shite.
Yeah, it's a curious state of affairs. Mm-hmm. It's one of these things where when it comes to Euro 2020, it's one of these things where, like, I will sort of say, or people will ask me about, you know, oh, the Czech team, what was it going to be? And I will try to big them up, but I basically know they're going to sort of be crap and humiliate themselves.
I mean, I came to the conclusion that I just think the whole Czech national team are a bunch of racists, and this was solidarity with the Bulgarians. Tomio liked this.
Did you see the...
Don't sue me.
The fans' t-shirt they put out, Česká republika... Like away fans T-shirt, where it had a map of Europe,
yeah,
and it had a dot with everywhere they'd played, and it didn't recognise Kosovo.
That doesn't surprise me. This was what with the whole Kosovo Serbia thing that was also on display at Pilsen.
But this was actually I don't know if this is true. Like, don't sue me if it's not. But I think this was an officially recognised Česká republika fans initiative T-shirt.
Why'd you give a shit? Why?
Although, actually, as a very quick subsequent hot, Kosovo fans against England,
yeah,
Kosovans, great bunch of lads. Loads of them had like England flags. Loads of them holding up signs saying like "Say no to racism" and stuff like that. And when the England team came out, they did that thing where the stadium announcer does the first name and everyone shouts the surname.
Oh, yeah.
So all the Kosovan fans doing that for the England team as well as the Kosovo team. Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know...
That's where I draw the line.
That's also, you know, thank you for, you know, bombing Serbians, basically, but, you know...
That is, I mean, yeah. Thanks for taking the side of a reactionary pro-Albanian force during
that's,
the...
That's basically where that comes from.
However, but. I mean, call me old-fashioned, but, you know, I don't know if about international football being about whether or not I supported a certain warring faction in the former Yugoslavia in something that happened over 10 years, 20 years ago,
20 almost. Years ago, yeah. Actually, 20 years ago this year, in fact.
Who's the good guy that plays for Kosovo? Is it Bush Pepa or something like that? The one that's just banging all the goals in.
No idea.
Bush Pepa was the guy who sang for Albania in Eurovision 2 years ago.
Okay, well, that takes us to our knowledge of Kosovan football. So shall we... I can give you a knot,
please,
very quickly. We'll get away from that and onto something which I wanted to call a hot until I found out about Jamie Cureton's record. Because this is just... It's just funny, basically.
Okay.
So, Michael Jolly,
Dom's brother,
was Grimsby Town manager. I'd never heard of him. He had a failed stint at some second division Swedish club, but he's English, I think. He was Grimsby Town manager until being mutually consented at the weekend when a bad run of form, i.e. no wins in seven, came to a head during a press conference after being beaten 4-0 at home by Leighton Orient.
Oh, yeah.
In the post-match press conference, he went off at two journalists from BBC Radio Humberside, Matt Dean and John Tonder, managing to swear at them 58 times in under 4 minutes. And was hastily called into the boardroom and mutually consented after that. I have a small section of that interview to read to you. And to show it, to make it more impactful, when I edit this, I'm actually going to beep all the swear words.
Oh,
because it will be a cavalcade of beeps. All right. You're an absolute f***ing disgrace of a journalist. This f***ing radio station gives us no f***ing positive coverage whatsoever. We were f***ing 10th going into today, mate, near the f***ing playoffs. Have you seen our f***ing budget? Do you know where we should f***ing be? F*** you and f*** him. Criticise us for playing man for man. Why not ask the manager? Because you got no f***ing balls. You have to snipe behind people's f***ing backs. I go on the f***ing Monday night show with Rob because he's a f***ing professional journalist and he's a f***ing straight shooter. You don't f***ing ask me a question, or when I go off you say, yeah, it was the wrong decision to f***ing play man for man.
That is quite something.
Yeah.
That is quite something. It sounded like a John Cooper Clarke poem for
really
a minute.
It really does, yeah.
I really hope he goes on to
call Simon Bird from the Daily Mail a cunt.
I was thinking of like joining Forest Green Rovers, because then they could be Jolly's Green Giants.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
That's some top swearing, though.
Yeah, it really was some top swearing. It will get you mutually consented, obviously. But,
I mean, so. I can't think of anywhere that it wouldn't get you mutually consented, you know. You're sacked from the nursery. You can't come back. pack your fucking bags and go. You're no longer on the maternity ward.
Yeah. Come the fuck in or fuck off.
My lovely horse, running through the fields. Where are you going with your fetlocks blowing in the wind? I want to shower you with sugar lumps and ride you over fences, polish your hooves every single day, bring you to the horse dentist. My lovely horse, you're a pony no more, running around with a man on your back like a train in the night, like a train in the night.
That was, of course, My Lovely Horse by Neil Hannon of the Divine Comedy, as featured in the hit Irish television show Father Ted. Mm-hmm. And that tells you about where we're going on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Horse Central, Pernikov. Uh-huh. Fuck off, Pernikov.
Pardubice.
Yeah. Home of Semtex, gingerbread and horseplay.
Gambling.
Yeah. Gambling and horseplay.
Yeah. As usual, I've been saddled with doing the preview for this. And if you were looking for me to go through, you know, sort of a man-to-man squad sort of thing, please look back to Season 2, Episode 1 of...
Season 2, Episode 1, Explosions.
Yes, of Zbrojov Cast, where I go a bit more through the team. Mm-hmm. Please ignore everything I say regarding how I think Pardubice will do in the season, because it was wrong. the league leaders, then.
League leaders.
They're there for a reason. They score goals and they concede very few.
Yes.
They have conceded only 9 goals.
That is remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. Whatever happens on Saturday, they will be top of the league going into the break, which is a huge mental boost.
Yeah.
Although Dukla have a testy game against Hradec, I'd say. It's second versus fifth. Jihlava have the same points as Dukla and are playing Vitkovice, so that's a gimme. Mm-hmm. So it'll get very tight indeed if the horse boys lose. So they'll be really looking to
kick on.
Kick on. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I don't want to use a stirrup pun again, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
That's been my main pun so far. Yeah, so they'll be looking to win this game. They won't be looking to really get a point. The real questions about Pardubice are going to be whether they can keep up this pace all season or if they're going to start tailing off. They don't. Do horses have tails?
Yes, they have tails.
Okay, yeah. Tailing off then. Like, because they went 10 games unbeaten before the derby with Raditz, which they lost because they always lose the derby with Raditz. I think they haven't won in something like 6 games against them.
Raditz Kral of Nay.
Nay, good. They almost came back from 3-0 down against Jihlava, Friday night game.
Almost,
couldn't quite do it.
Yeah.
But both of those games are away. They have conceded, David, 2 goals at home all season.
That's ridiculous.
2 goals at home all season, and they've played Dukla there.
That's... Yeah. Fortress part of it, so then. Really? Yeah. I was trying to recall the name of the stadium, but I can't.
It's generous to call it... but it's a fortress.
It's a cliche, isn't it?
It's called Pod something, I believe.
It is, yeah.
Podvinitri
or something like that, yeah.
It's going to be quite interesting. What's got to be a fascinating question, I think, is... Like, I don't think that they can come up. Because they had a stadium plan. This was a knot a while ago.
Yes.
That got rejected by Pardubice City Council. It was a very modest 5,000 seater stadium, very much like in your Carvina sort of mold. Not really offensive, just a stadium. And that got taken down. And then would you share with Hradec Králové? But then Hradec's stadium...
They're already redeveloping, aren't they?
Getting built up. And that stadium at the moment... is I've not seen it this season so far, but when we went last season it was a disgrace, so that's not going to be good enough for the first league.
No.
So how do you go about this? You can't go to Chrudim is nowhere near sort of fit and proper, so I don't think they'd be allowed a license, so that's one thing to also consider,
which is kind of a shame because they've been playing so well this year and they seem to have aside from the stadium issue, it seems to be a club that is
not supported.
Yeah, but you know, from the playing side, they're doing incredibly well. Yeah. They've got a good, solid squad of players, as you said. They're not conceding that many. I'm going to say they're stable.
Hey, it's for a club that's 11 years old. I think not doing too badly because it was a merger. They used to play in a. There's some photos on the internet. They used to play in a barely a stadium, barely a field before. Yeah, so it's going to be tough to go there. One thing to consider, which is not particularly in the team's favour, is that the strikers aren't banging them in a 4-2-3-1 formation.
Right.
You have, you know, Michal Kohut, right-sided midfielder in the three, gets quite a few. Yeah. Czerny up front has only got 3 so far. It was reasonably interesting for me doing some research that Jan Jerabek, who's the captain, is a defensive midfielder with 7. And then,
that's bizarre.
And then I realised he's on pens.
Oh, right.
So
okay,
that makes a lot of sense. It's an important game for us to win for a few reasons. There's lots of transfers, lots of mid-season friendlies to happen over the winter. But Pardubice's league run, when they come back, is Vlašim, Prostějov, Ústí, Sokolov and Vítkovice in that order.
Wow, okay.
Which are 5 incredibly beatable
winnable
teams.
Winnable games, yeah.
That could very easily be 15 points. I don't expect too much to be dropped. We have very similar running, actually. We've got a few of them. I think we're playing Vlašim, oh great, again, Ústí, Vítkovice, but we have to dispatch Dukla at home to get some points back off them.
At least we're at home, I guess. You know, tiny, you know, sort of spots of silver lining there, I guess.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really tough one. Yeah.
I don't know about this thing with you were saying that Fosek looked like he might come injured, might have come off injured, but do you think that we're going to be pretty much unchanged for the third game?
I would say so, yeah. I see no reason to change anything necessarily. One possibility would be Shumbra out for Stepp, but that's the only thing I can think of, because Stepp, when he's come on, has done very well. But other than that, I can't really see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've not done this for a while, David, but I'm going to ask you for a prediction.
1-1.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I going to be the confident one for a change?
Sure, why not?
I really think it's got, okay, so Pardubice are playing good football, winning games, grinding out results. We have put on a bunch of really good performances recently, right? So this game is going to be terrible. It's going to be a really, right. really bad game. I can see us toe poking a 1-0.
All right, fair enough.
And if we do, then that is, I think, in the scope of this season, going to be absolutely huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. I think you're right. And talking of the scope of the season, let's just have a little half-term report card
after
this. Yeah, a wee snippet after this quick break. Okay, we said this wasn't going to be a long one, we didn't have many topics, but we have managed to ramble on for 18 pages front and back.
I'm a rambling man.
Yeah, so we're going to make this relatively quick, because I don't have anything. I've got a couple of bullet points.
I don't really have anything at all. This is, I think, just completely off the cuff, because there should be some analysis of how we've fared in the first half of the season. Now that we're coming to the end of it, and mm-hmm. we are not going to be podcasting for a full fortnight after the Pardubice game, so general thoughts about how we have started out this new campaign.
It's been a very strange one because all of the numbers, as it was frequently pointed out, were that we had actually started compared to last season actually slightly better, mm-hmm. but performance wise. That did not look like we were Agreed. Doing it. It came to the point where it looked like Schuster was not the man to take us any further.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get points and you can sort of clang out results, but in this league with this club, that's not what you're expected to be doing. You're expected to be playing good football and sort of swashbuckling your way towards a title. That was not happening. Mm-hmm. So I think the change of manager, Touchwood, so far has been the right way to go, and I'm looking forward to how we do in the second half of the season when he's got 3 months of friendlies, training, and a transfer window in. So
yeah, on the point of a transfer window. The question is going to be if anyone actually comes in. And the big question is going to be the only person who is only contracted to the club until the 31st of December, which is Michael Schmid. Now, I can't remember if we had him loaned with an option to buy. I think that was Pasler.
Pasler is loaned with an option. Yeah,
I don't think... I think Schmid might be going. But so are we going to be in the market for another central defender?
I'm not sure because I mean, Krzysztofek is out for a little bit, mm-hmm. but we've seen a little bit of Jakub Czernin.
Yeah.
I guess there's probably a possibility of maybe Sus being recalled, mm-hmm. but Gatch, sorry, yeah. David Gatch being recalled. So we're not light in that area necessarily, and we've already seen people playing centre half. We've already seen Sedlak push to right back and Schural coming into the middle, so I don't necessarily think we're light in that area.
Yeah, I don't really see any area aside from the defence where we'd be looking to acquire anyone even on loan. No. Like our front two is now, I think, going to be our front two until the end of the season, yeah. unless something catastrophic happens. And then you've got backups in Pasler, you've got Magera, of course, yeah. There as well. And the midfield has just been the midfield for quite some time. Yeah. I mean, that was our big thing at the start of the season, is that we have too many damn midfielders. So we offloaded a couple, and you know, we've got a reasonable five now. But do you think it's been an albatross, you know, sort of around the necks of people that Zbrojovka came into the start of this season as the favourites to win the league?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think what really surprised me, and I think what really has been the thing that eventually pushed Schuster out the door, was the absolute inability to carry the end of the form from the end of last season over.
Yeah.
There were very few changes, and I don't know what he did, but he managed to absolutely knacker a team that had been utterly flying. like swatting people aside 5 or 6 nil.
Yeah.
And just, it looked like a different side with the same people in it. It was very strange.
There was a touch of the, almost like, you know, when a sort of a millionaire, like Russian or someone, takes over a club and there's always accusations that he's the one actually pulling the strings.
Mm.
There was a bit of that really around the whole Schuster thing as well. Like, so randomly you'd have a player that's demoted to the B team. And, you know, stuff like that would happen. So it was very strange. And he wasn't really able to have any tactics on the game.
No. I mean, we've talked about all this before, though. So this is old news, unfortunately. Yeah.
But I wanted to very quickly finish with, just to put you on the spot, if you have one player that's needs to do better in the second half of the season, and one player who should be going full steam ahead with how they have been?
Full steam ahead with how they have been is easy. Uncle Vanjak has been just a revelation.
Absolutely.
I love watching him play. He's so far outclasses everyone else we've got. We're incredibly lucky to have him. He's a beautiful player to watch. He finds space from nowhere. He never seems ruffled. He never seems hurried particularly. He's a lovely player to watch. Needs to do better. It's a bit harsh because he hasn't had that many chances, but Honza Pazler.
Okay.
I just think, yeah, it's unfair because he's never really had the chances, but like against Prostyov, he had a shot that was stopped. It was him that was taken out for the free kick. It was him that set up Pakhlopnik. We have seen, like, those are glimpses of what he can do. He scored twice in the cup win, I think. It's unfair to say he hasn't produced. He just hasn't had the chances. And I'd like to see him be given a bit more time. Because I think he could come good.
Mm-hmm.
You?
Good stuff. Well, seeing as you said Uncle Vanya, I'm going to very briefly talk up Antonín Rusek, who is now being recognised by being part of the Czech national setup for the under-20s, under-19s?
Possibly, yeah.
Like, he's still very young. But he really has, especially in the latter half of this part of the season, come into his own. I like his link-up with Přihystal. I like how even before that, though, he was one that actually seemed to be trying to do things and trying to find these little flicks and things. So there's one for that. My improvement might be controversial, but I'm going to go for Šural. Because I think partly this is to do with technically being out of position or not being comfortable as a centre-back rather than being played on the right. But I think there's a reason if you are supposed to be a right-back and you're not getting that gig. I like his physicality. I think he switches off a bit too much. You see him having to track back way too much because of that. There is a good defender in there. I think he needs to bring it out a lot more if he wants to basically be a part of our defence, which we're hoping should be rock solid for the end of the season. We have conceded the third least amount of goals.
I think you're right.
But it's still 16. We can do a lot better there.
Yeah, I think Šural, this might be a strange sounding thing to say, but I think he thinks that maybe I don't know if it's just at this level, but maybe generally, I think he thinks that running a lot and passion shows you're a good defender when actually it's like was it Maldini or Cannavaro said, if I have to make a tackle, I've already made a mistake. You know, I think he's a sort of, in a way, like a sort of John Terry-esque figure in that he's very dramatic. He hurls himself about a lot, but that's because he's already missed the chance to make the interception and he's already been caught slightly out of position. And
that's a really good point, actually. I mean, I don't think anyone would doubt his commitment and his and that sort of stuff. I mean, he's been on, you know, in the media saying that, you know, now what he thinks his role as a footballer is to basically be, you know, this sort of legacy and tribute to his brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, so no one doubts his heart and character there, but there is a technical thing, perhaps.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, so that's about it. We are going to do some winter specials. We haven't quite decided on what they're going to be yet. We've got some good ideas, but if anyone would like to hear anything particular, we will take suggestions.
Absolutely.
But we'll throw that out on social media in a couple of weeks or so when we are trying to draw up our shortlist for 4 or possibly 5 winter specials.
It's a fun part of the season though, David, because we get to do these dedicated specials and we'll be you know, rolling through into the Winter League as well. Mm-hmm. We'll be getting games in there as well, so you're not going to be short of your Hots Brojovka Brno action.
Yes, and I'm sure that's what you're all tuning in for, not to hear us piss about. And no, you need that Hots Brojovka gossip.
Yeah. It's going to be a long 5 months.
Really is.
Four months.
Jesus, even so. Anyway, thanks for listening, listener. We're going to play you out with this, which is based on an artist which used to be one of my mum's favourites. So that's nice, isn't it? See you again soon.
Arrivederci. Čaroděj, dobroděj, má čarovnou hůl. Čaroděj, dobroděj, má čarovný stůl. Mám neholý holobletí, mám ne dvakrát druhý třetí, úsměv dětí čaroděj má rád. Čaroděj, dobroděj, plášť ze zlatých hvězd. Čaroděj, dobroděj, přijďte přesně v 6. Křišťálovou koulí, děti stichnou očka poulí, princeznička z kapra jde spát. On je můj pán a já jsem pouhý pomocník. Holouci vzlétli a já tu sním, o tom, že smím kouzlit sám, 100 míčků mám v rukávech. Čaroděj, dobroděj, má velikou moc. Čaroděj, dobroděj, mávne a je noc. Vymění za krále eso, králíčci mu vejce nesou. Z vajíčka pak vylíhnu se já. Čaroděj, dobroděj, čaroděj, dobroděj, čaroděj, dobroděj, čaroděj, dobroděj, smíchu plný sál. Čaroděj, dobroděj, pojď, proč by se zbál. Naší zas lidem štěstí, přijď si pro něj na náměstí, každému z něj tajně kousek dá. Čaroděj, dobroděj, čaroděj, dobroděj, čaroděj, dobroděj, čaroděj, dobroděj.